Join me, George Norrie, in Indian Wells, California, May 31st to June 3rd for the Contact in the Desert UFO Conference, an epic weekend of exploration into ancient aliens, human origins, crop circles, and UFO sightings. More than 100 lectures, panels, workshops, and events with leading experts like Giorgio Tsoukalos, David Wilcock, Linda Moulton Howe, Eric Von Doniken, Doc Wallach, and so many more. Get your tickets today at contactinthedesert.com. It's time to make contact. Contactinthedesert.com.
Fact and fiction are sometimes a little closer than people think.
These things come down and they contact people, they engage with people, and they've been doing it for a long time.
It's human nature to be fearful of the unknown.
It's time to make contact.
Welcome to New Realities. I'm Alan Steinfeld. This is another live stream with one of the upcoming keynote speakers at Contact in the Desert, Mary Rodwell. And Mary's coming to the East Coast. She's going to be in New York on May 23rd at 35 Greenwich Street at 7 p.m. And then she's going out to the Arboretum on Long Island outside of Oakdale. You can contact me about that. That's May 25th. And then she's going to be in Philadelphia on May 28th. And then to Contact in the Desert, May 31st. So it's quite a full schedule, isn't it? And if people want to know about any of those upcoming conferences, they can email me for more specifics and email me at newrealities@earthlink.net. Mary, why don't you just give a little background about yourself and, you know, how you got into this work as really one of the experts in extraterrestrial research and your special brand research that I think is very important.
Well, a brief overview is that I started my professional life as a nurse and a midwife. And it was during my time bringing up the children, I then got led into counseling. And what was fascinating there is I went from what I call the medical model into looking at what causes disease, because obviously for many of us are aware that our psychological and emotional health is what ultimately can end up in us being unwell. So for me, it was a progression to the cause rather than dealing with the effect of people's emotions. Ultimately, that led me into the spiritual realm, because what happened was that many people having various, you know, human experiences, whether it's grief and bereavement, because when I worked at a medical practice, we got everything. We got those grieving, we got those having adolescent issues, all kinds of different things were I was exposed to. But what was profound for me was those that had spiritual experiences. You know, they were aware of maybe, you know, their granddad or their father still being around and giving them information or sharing things with them, and then questioning their sanity, which was for me another reason why I wanted to look into the non-physical part of human experience. That led me into past lives, doing hypnosis, again, exploring my own spiritual journey. What was it that made sense to me? And from that really has been the basis of how I now interpret human experiences. What is this from the soul level? So it sort of led me through all these stages. But what brought me into the ET side of this was serendipitous that a few weeks before my first client came through the door, I'd read two books, one by Dr. John Mack, Abduction, Human Encounters with Aliens. This, of course, was the former professor of psychiatry at Harvard University. And also Communion by Whitney Strieber. If it was Weird and Wonderful, I always had a book on it, because that was where I've always been focused, is the mysteries of life. Why are we here? What's it all about? You know, trying to make sense of the human journey. And then a gentleman walks through the door and says, there's no support groups for this, Mary. For this, people just think you're a loony. and proceeded to tell me about being on spacecraft, having waking up with marks on his body, shaved areas. His partner was very frightened that relatives wouldn't come to the house because they thought it was demons. And he said to me, "I've heard you're open-minded, can you help?" And basically, that was the start of this rabbit hole that I keep going down further and further, and really being involved with over 3,000 individuals worldwide now, families and children, and really wanting to understand how to help them the most, given the fact that many of them are having experiences that psychology and psychiatry completely dismiss as being valid. And if anything, it's that. It's about changing the understanding of human experience.
Well, that's the real important part, I think, has become your specialty, in the sense that who we are as human beings and our level of experience is much vaster than people have told us. And once we wake up to the fact that there are ETs and it's more a matter of consciousness than it is hardware or psychology, then something happens to us. Can you talk, and to me too, it's like I realized I was, it's silly to say, even like an extraterrestrial myself, but all of us, not just me, all of us. Talk about, and I'm trying to understand that actually, talk about how you understand that.
Well, for me, being brought up in a religious paradigm, it took me a while to let that go and realize how limited it was and how inaccurate it was, because it was all about belief. So I wanted to know about human experience, because that to me was tangible, that was real. And when you have people having experiences where they're communicating with other beings, having valid information, for me, that was where I wanted to go. So I explored it myself personally. I worked with my non-human team. I got to know how it works for me, certainly. And that has given me the tools to help others. So the part of my work is actually helping others to feel safe, comfortable, confident, and trust their experiences. Which for me is really a very much part of what's happening on this planet, learning to trust our multidimensional abilities and awareness.
But you used yourself, if you want to share, I mean, in order to know that, in order for me to know it or you to know it, we launched ourselves into something that psychology can no longer qualify. And that's been a sort of series of lectures I've been doing, where we have to get beyond the psychological paradigm that says if you hear voices or if you imagine more, you're crazy. And we have to start to trust this new level that's coming to us. And that's the shift I think we need to make more than any disclosure. Talk about how you see that.
Absolutely. I was fortunate. I spent 3 years learning how to work with my multidimensional side with a couple of clinical psychologists, a nursing sister, and a trans medium, and a clairvoyant. And interestingly, the two clinical psychologists were amazing channels, would be bringing out incredible information with what they connected to, and yet they would go to work professionally. And if someone said, "I'm hearing voices," they would need to say, "Well, you've got a problem," when the whole thing is ridiculous. I meet so many nurses, doctors, psychiatrists and others within the field that know full well that this is part of normal human experience, because they're experiencing it, but still unable to own it because of this nonsense that everyone can't say they're seeing the elephant. You know, it's ridiculous. The whole thing is ridiculous.
Yes. So, but that's the key point. How did you or anyone start to realize that they are the multidimensional being? How do we break through the parameters that have locked us into our own denial of consciousness and start to open up to these possibilities?
Well, I was fortunate, because after 3 years of working multidimensionally, and things happened to me that I couldn't quantify with my left brain. Information would come to me and I would check it out and it'd be accurate. So everything that I was experiencing, I was testing for a number of years before I would accept that that was had integrity, that I could check it out, that I could verify it. And certain things I experienced, I know I couldn't imagine myself experiencing, they just happened. And that was to do with energy work, you know, from channeling, doing everything from psychometry right through. And ultimately, having enough proof for me, and I'm quite tough on myself, I've got a very healthy left brain that says, come on, Mary, you can't kid yourself here. It's got to have integrity, and you've got to be professional. You've got to be ethical. So I tested myself, Alan, in so many different ways to make sure that I wasn't getting carried away and what have you. And then after that, when I felt confident, I was then training others to do it for a number of years. And I had to rely on that side of me because things would happen that I couldn't understand with my left brain, but my right brain would, and I call them my non-human team, would come in and they would tell me what I needed to do. And I relied on that for everything from my meditations to everything else. So for me, it's part of the integration that's the big thing, so that you ultimately integrate it and normalize it so that you're in harmony and balance with both sides of that, you know, our human experience.
Yeah. So I think that's the shift, is to trust our own experiences and then to realize this idea of multidimensionality, which I would love for you to define, because it has means so many things to so many people. So how do you define that?
I define that as the non-physical part of ourselves, our essence, soul, spirit, consciousness, whatever name you're comfortable with, is the part of us that's eternal, that comes from the source, whatever name you want to give the source. And we're an aspect of that, but we're many aspects of our soul too. I believe that we have an oversoul, but we have aspects of ourselves operating in many different realities. So, you know, for me, I've always likened it to, well, I was sort of shown the palm of my hand as being the oversoul and aspects of myself being the fingers, but many, many more than that, all operating in a now. There's no such thing as time. We've all been told in our multidimensional self, time does not exist. Therefore, we're operating, having different experiences in different realities, different timelines, parallel realities. And my hypnosis actually qualified that, because when I took people into that space, sometimes they'd go to other dimensions, other timelines. They would see themselves operating in other realities. So for me, there is no limits to what the soul is capable of or how it can operate in these many different realities that we call dimensions.
Right. It is the soul. It's the soul essence that is the multidimensional being. But then let's bring in the ET aspect, because people have been, you know, spiritual for a long, long time. They've had many higher mystical experiences. But there seems to be, from what I've seen and from talking to people, a new awakening, a new download. And we'll also get into your recent work with hybrids and people who are actually more ET than human, or half and half. But how do the ET realities, if we want to call it that, interface with our multidimensional awareness? And I get the sense it's something new for the human experience.
Oh, that's a good one. The way that I look at it anyway, we've all been various forms of ET, various forms of energy consciousness. We've experienced everything from being minerals to animals to you know, plants or whatever. We've experienced all those forms, creator beings. We've been all of that as well. So for me, when we talk about extraterrestrials, how I've come to understand it is that there's extraterrestrial, there's interdimensionals, extra dimensionals, transdimensionals, visitors from our future. There's all of that, and probably some I've got no clue about at this point, because right, you're never ending with this journey of looking at the complexity of what this is. But for me, when I'm interacting, I don't physically see, like some do, the beings. They may see energy forms, they may see holograms even, or they may see balls of light, etc. I don't see that. I have a sort of screen here, and they'll come up on the screen, and then if I want to know more, I'll be shown more. So for me, that's how it works. But everybody, as you know, Alan, is different in how some just sense, feel, have the knowing, and for some of us, it becomes more visual, more clairsentient, more clairaudient. Just depends on how much we want to open up to use those senses, those multidimensional senses, which again can ultimately take us to other realities, to other timelines, to whatever, once we open up to it.
Well, I have to say, once you do, then the world is magical. The world is full of life and capacities and possibilities. You know, we have really been dumbed down in our Western culture to think, well, this is it, the material world. And what we're discovering now, and I think this is where I want to get into the ET stuff and some of the younger people you've been working with, there's been an infusion, if we want to call it that, of ET mind, whatever that means. I don't even know what that means, but I sense that. And there's a merging of an awakening beyond human. So yeah, tell me what you've discovered recently.
Well, there's a lot of talk about hybrids. Well, we're all hybrids. If the research is accurate from the molecular biologists that have talked to me, we are a hybrid species. But not only that, there seems to be different levels or different kinds of hybrids. We know about the ones on the craft. There are many different forms there. But there are many incarnating into human form now that are accessing more of their hybrid nature or their star family nature, so that they're relating more to maybe their Pleiadian heritage or their Syrian heritage, or it may be one or two. For example, when I talked to one 17-year-old in New Zealand, he told me he was an Arcturian ambassador, and he'd come to this planet to create a new ecology, a new way of living in harmony with the planet, for example. So these new humans coming in, or the what I call the more awake humans, we're all new humans. I think we're all waiting to just get upgraded or at least wake up. We all have that capacity, but they're coming in awake. They're coming in knowing where they're from. And what's interesting is, as one hybrid young lady from Spain told me, that she was aware that her mother had been when she was conceived, there was more ET DNA within her than the human. So she relates more to her ET self. And so there's all this, there's some with calling it the dual consciousness. Others are calling it that they're more of a hybrid and feel more comfortable with their hybrid heritage, which may be from whatever star system they feel they're from or whatever. Some have also told me, like one 10-year-old explained to me, that it's the first time he's come to this planet, and that he's come and he calls himself a center seed. And what he means by that is he's connecting to the center of this planet, the seed of this planet. And his mission, if you like, because many of them are aware of their mission, is to actually deal with the pollution on this planet. So he's got a very, very big mandate, as well as the other children are dealing with energy lines, there are ley lines, they're looking and dealing with elements. Some of the children told me they deal with the elements. They know how to operate and control the elements, for example. So they've got big, some of them have got really big mandates, but many of them associate more with their ET family than they do with their human family.
So do you feel this is the destiny for our humanity, our planet, or is this just a super race that will take off and sort of separate, or is this coming for all of us to awaken?
My sense from my research is that they've come in to help activate the rest of us, what I call the older models. We've all got the potential, but we've been switched off more. A lot of that's our 3D programming. Some of that is part of the problem of why we've needed these new awake ones that are harder to program. And it was really interesting how that information slowly became clear was those having experiences would be having children with ADHD or dyslexia or autism, some forms of autism or Asperger's. And I was thinking to myself, well, if I was one of these intelligences wanting to wake humans up, they've got to stop them being programmed. And so the great thing with this is they're harder to program and they're wired differently so that they're not programmed into this inaccurate and limited 3D system. So for me, it makes a lot of sense. But we, of course, or at least those that are really controlling what's going on this planet, do not want them to be fully operational any more than they want us to be. But that's what's going on now, is they're bringing in the frequencies that are activating us, and they will be teaching us rather than the other way around, I believe.
Yes, I think so. But let's back up just a little bit, because in your first book, and you've written Awakening, and your second book was called, what was your second book called?
The New Human, Awakening to Our Cosmic Heritage.
In your first book, you kind of go, I would say, if you want to call it traditional route, where the abductions happened and, you know, the work that John Mack wrote about and what communion was about. And in those early books from the 1980s and 90s, and even going back to the 60s with Betty and Barney Hill, there's the encounter is a shocking experience, a trauma. And, you know, and as we've progressed into this world that now you're familiar with, it's no longer trauma, it's integrated, but still, we're sort of been around this. There's still, it's still going to be a trauma for a lot of people. And so how do we deal with that awakening?
Well, there's two things with that. First of all, the reason I wrote Awakening was to offer a map or a process for people going from the trauma of realizing that, is this real? And if it is real, where do I go with it? Because my whole reality now no longer makes sense to me. How do I deal with the fact that I've got to redesign a paradigm that will fit with my multidimensional experiences? Not an easy one for any of us, no matter where we are with it. And some are more comfortable with it than others. I liken it a little bit to the shamanic journey, because the shaman has to transcend his human fears to become operational in a multidimensional reality. Because unless they deal with the human fears, they can't then possibly manage their multidimensional experience. So I call it the modern day shamanic wake up call, whereas others will do it through shamanism, some through maybe learning healing, others may do it through having a near-death experience. There'll be others that may do it through doing something like Qigong or whatever. Everyone has, I think, a personal mandate in how they choose to wake up. And this 16-year-old hybrid girl said when she was 15, it was encoded in her DNA for her then to wake up and realize who she is. But for each one of us, I believe it's a different mandate.
Right. But do you think, though, it's a different mandate, but it's quite shocking. And as a planetary civilization, we're going to have to go through this conscious awakening here.
Absolutely. And sometimes, you know, the only way you wake up is when your back's against the wall. And that seems to be the nature, the pattern with human nature, isn't it? Until we get really scared enough that we suddenly realize we have got to change, we'll just coast away until that happens. And that's what I think is part of being 3D and being in this materialistic world, is that for whatever reason, that slap across, you know, across the face, if you like, is a way that we really start to get it. And for most of us, it seems to be that way before we listen, although there'll be others that don't seem to need that for whatever reason, they coast through their awakening in a beautiful flow. But for most of us, I think it's that slap across the face and back against the wall. Come on, now wake up and get on with it and start to see what's really happening in your world.
Right. I mean, we're at such a crossroads. It's very interesting. We're at, you know, the very beginner stages, and then you're talking to people who have already awakened to this. So, I mean, it couldn't get any more complicated than it is now, maybe, because it's like it's a whole schoolhouse from unconscious to conscious. So what do you think, what's really going to turn the tide, do you feel? Do you feel more UFO contact? I mean, what are you seeing from the people you're talking to who are awakened?
Well, that's a good question too. What I will say is that the many that have contacted me in recent years are telling me that some major event or something is going to happen that will help shift everyone into the new paradigm, really whether they're ready or not, almost. Now, what that is remains to be seen. Some talk about cataclysms, some talk about the sky full of craft where we're going to be picked up. Others are seeing it more of a frequency shift to the new earth they talk about, which some are saying is already there, just waiting for us to join it. It may be all of that, or it may be none of that. But certainly the consensus is that something in the near future, this isn't, you know, they're not talking about 30, 40, 50 years. They're talking about something relatively soon in our, you know, our immediate future that is going to shift people into this different paradigm. But what it is, Alan, that's maybe what we're all waiting to find out.
Well, you've been around this for a while, and I'm not saying you should share all your personal beliefs, but what's your feeling? I mean, it could just be a consciousness shift where everyone gets a major download and they realize they are multidimensional. I mean, what's your feeling, and how do you think within the next 10 years? I mean, just what's your sense? There's no way to know, but yeah.
Well, that's a good question. One of the things that Dr. Olson, Lena Olson, who's a molecular biologist and friend of mine, who's an experiencer, said to me, that her information was that we're separating into two frequencies, the low frequency people and the high frequency people. We're almost creating this kind of polarity. And you're choosing which way you want to go as a soul. Some are deciding to stay with 3D, some are deciding now to ascend into another frequency. I quite like that idea. It feels and resonates with me. And being Aries and being impatient, I want it now, yesterday if possible. So I'd like to think that it's certainly going to be in my lifetime, or I'm going to find, because I always joke a little bit when people say to me, you know, well, you're full of positivity, Mary, and what have you. And there's two things that I say to that. First of all, I don't think all these amazing young souls coming in for this shift in consciousness, I don't think they would be bothering to come in and incarnating for a waste of time. And secondly, I think for me, knowing myself as the way I think I do, is I'd be saying, I'm not going to do all this hard work and then not see the end result, because right. I would be pretty pissed off. So,
exactly.
So I'm hoping it's sooner rather than later.
You know, it just seems to me that we just have to get over our old thinking. I mean, for you and the people you met, in a way, it's already here. These children, that time has arrived. They're living their multidimensionality. Maybe even me and you, to some degree, are living that multidimensionality. So. It might just be a progression for the earth itself. And I think we just have to keep being open to downloads, to transcending the psychology and new possibilities. I also want to say, because I'm here in Northern California, I'm at the home of Drs. Hertog, and they have a lot of interesting information on this. They've kind of accessed, JJ had an incredible experience where he became the multidimensional self. They just want to jump in for a second and kind of dialogue with you on some of the ideas that come to them as it pertains to this particular conversation. So I'm just going to have them jump in for a second.
Okay?
Thank you.
Wonderful.
I've enjoyed listening to you, Mary. I like your emphasis on the vibratory change. This is so important. I work with indigenous people throughout the world. In fact, I'm wearing a teaching belt from the Xavante peoples of southern Brazil, who believe that the star nations are coming back now, and that the higher frequencies we maintain through love and through respect and compassion, the sooner this change will take place, where we will see ourselves graduating into a larger family of cosmic nations.
Yeah, we couldn't agree more with what some of the things you're saying, that people have incarnated for this special time. People, some young people especially, are totally aware of what they're doing and why they're here. We like to help give them the cosmology a little bit if we can. But Dr. Utak, even in his book, mentions about different time periods that people would wake up. And in a sense, after 2004, we feel we're in like the
heart-centered.
And also the literal area of the third chakra that people are having to connect with a much more basic level of feeling, like that you can see things going on with the planet.
Yes. And I wanted to say also, with respect to John Mack, Dr. Mack and I were part of the first disclosure by the American government in Washington, D.C. in May of 1995. And we showed film documents from Africa where we were working with shamanistic doctors and even children in South Africa and Zimbabwe who actually had seen in their playground a variety of higher beings of intelligence. And this were preparing them to understand a new generation of humanity was going to graduate and understand cosmic awareness and cosmic citizenship.
So the question that we have for you, Mary, is how can we start to bring this more public? I mean, maybe this is what your work is about, but, you know, the work of the Hertogs, what I'm trying to do with New Reality, your work, it's still very cloistered. And what some of the ideas that have come maybe just from some of the children about how we can make this more popular, mainstream?
Well, I think by highlighting that the new children are different and showing that they're different and what they're talking about when I wrote The New Human, it's amazing the response I've had from educators from all over the globe, clinical psychologists that are saying they see these children and understanding their difference. And their difference, of course, is because they're aware of where they're from. They know their abilities. They describe their abilities, you know, and it's, you know, they're speaking star languages to their parents. They're operating many telepathically. These are very tangible, very real things that mainstream is beginning to notice. And that I'm being, for me, is really making a difference in getting through to various parts of mainstream understanding. That has made a huge difference.
That's great. That's really, that's important. One of the questions on the live chat here is, what do you feel about when these star children become adults? What emerges? Do they forget or do they keep going?
Well, one of the things that I've been talking to educators particularly about is a new kind of school. And this is a school where we provide the space for the children to tell us what they need to be all they can be. So it's a reversal of roles. They will teach us what they need so they can expand and do the job they've come here to do. And this, for me, has got to happen at some point. Because at the moment, a lot of the kids are switching off. They are,
This is what we call, Mary, at the University of the Cosmos, where the children form this global commons and bring their ideas forward and become really the authentic leaders that we need in ecology, environment, and sociology, positive psychology, and cosmology.
But I've also seen younger people, one younger person who knows he's from the stars as well, said he even married his wife on another planet and then came back with that. And he was asking me a little bit about where that might have been and things like that. So I think, you know, there's a large amount that are trying to maintain that understanding. Of course, having to get a regular job and all that, it gets a little bit difficult for them and they start losing some aspects. But in actuality, I think many of them are maintaining their star child nature.
Yes, and with the internet... With the internet, we have a university without walls. We have the opportunity to work on so many levels, crossing old paradigms of limitation. And with the modern minds, the minds of children being so gifted, this comes as a great surprise, but also as a great challenge, not to go backwards, but to go forwards, leaving behind a culture of death and negativity into a culture of peace and transformation.
You know, one more thing. I agree with this, and they also, the Hertogs also talk about the UTs, the ultra-terrestrials, but I just feel in this conversation I'm enjoying, but we're leaving a whole segment of the population behind. I mean, 90% of the people out there would have no idea what we're talking about. And I just want to make more bridges. Do you know what I'm saying? We all have those. I mean, we're different.
How do we change the paradigm with and its frequency? Many of those coming in, the creative intuitives are bringing it through with their artwork, with their music, with the scripts, with the languages. It's all frequency. For me, this is acting like almost like a virus that we're all carrying the codes. I get so many people sending me scripts, different kinds of artwork. And I remember saying to my team, what am I supposed to do with this? I can't show all of this on my presentations. And they said to me, Mary, it's in your energy field now. So wherever you go, anyone within that frequency or your energy field is picking up that information, even if they're not aware of it. And being a bit of a, I need everything proved to me. So I said to them, well, you're going to have to prove that one to me. About a week later, I was on a panel. I wasn't really saying a great deal. In fact, I was sitting there fairly quietly. A lady stood up in the audience and she said to me, Mary, you're not saying anything, but you're beaming out all these frequencies and we're all getting them. So for me, that's how it has to be. They have to show me the truth of it. But since then, what I've seen is we've got the frequency in the way we speak. We've got the frequency when we're seeing the codes. If we go to sacred sites, we're picking up the frequencies. All the time we are changing, we are affecting those around us like the pebble in the pond. So it just keeps going.
Yes, I think that's true. We are just having this conversation puts out the vibration in the field. Crop circles as their messages from other beings are. So you're right. We just have to keep doing it. And like you, we're beaming the energy.
And this is why we're going to sacred sites throughout the world and getting young people to bring their music and their harmonic into the whole global transformation that requires a frequency change. We call it a global frequency shift that's now taking place, whether we work with the indigenous musicians in Brazil or some of the great musicians of the Orient or Europe, we find that there's a certain wave of sound harmonics that's changing. People can hear more, they can sense a higher reality, and this language of music, sound, and art is part of what I believe to be the cosmic signal of a higher communication system that we'll all be connected with.
I would say we just have to do our part, because according to Dr. Hertak and his experience, which was in 1973, really, there's a whole program coming in, and it's really being coordinated by the other side. And yes, not everyone on the planet is going to be part of that or accept to be part of it.
But the leaders,
actually, everyone has the ability to be part of it, but some don't accept it.
The leaders will be the avant-garde through this music, this great orchestration. And I think this is what Steven Spielberg tried to show in that famous classical movie, Close Encounters of the Third Kind, with musicians there with NASA scientists beaming electronic music signals. Well, the truth of the matter is that music must come from the heart. We don't need electronic music. We need biomusic that is full of the higher frequency of love, compassion, and positive change.
I also wanted to add what Mia, actually, who's putting on the conference in South Dakota, says, the frequency is truth. Humanity needs to tell the truth about their thoughts, feelings, and desires. Aligning with truth creates an open channel. When we do that, we teach others how to be truth. That's Mia and...
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's why I encourage experiencer groups whenever I go to conferences, if I can, getting them sharing. But what I did want to say was, one of the ways it's happening is that you've probably noticed a lot of the young children, you know, young boys and girls singing at 10, 11 in these wonderful, you know, these different shows where they're saying, listen to this child at 10. Or this child 11 with voices that are mature and with the frequencies, they're all the star kids. They're coming in and they're saying, what amazing voice. They go on television Who's getting the frequencies? Everybody from that particular show, without realizing. You can feel it when you listen to them sing. They're coming in, they're bringing the frequencies straight in, and it's being watched on talk shows, and it's being watched on, you know, Idol and all these other ones. They've got the frequency. You can hear it in the voice. So this is another way we're getting through to mainstream, although they don't realize that that's special frequencies that are coming in that are activating frequencies. So for me, it's happening on a multi-level way, which I think is really exciting.
20 years ago, we met Sarah Church, the famous young woman that had this tremendous voice, and she felt a spiritual vibration come through her voice, and she could do almost anything. At her young age of 12, she could sing like an opera star, five octaves. So we are working with professionals like Carlos Santana and others to change the frequency of heavy metal into spiritual vibrations of upliftment.
And positive thinking. I think that's so important. And I'm glad you're saying about the young people coming into the planet, and some of their mission is really to help clean up the environment on the planet.
And the lower vibrations of the media. Mary, you say it so well. We want to thank you so much for your great work.
Well, I want to also say that maybe this is the vibration ideas, what was meant by 144,000 or whatever number it takes for us to awaken, to shift the consciousness of the whole species, the 100th monkey effect. And
exactly.
Yes, yes. Well, I think we're all doing it. I think coming to contact in the desert and all the other events that we're doing, we're also, if people want to come to South Dakota and the reservation in Pine Ridge, they could email Mia Faroletto, that's mia.feroletto@gmail. That conference is coming up May 16th to the 20th. Also, Contact in the Desert is coming up on May 31st to June 3rd.
And we're going to show some of our special music and film.
At Contact in the Desert?
Right.
Oh, yeah. Tell us what you're going to be doing at Contact.
We're going to be able to show how the sacred sites of vibrations throughout the world are converging. And we believe, to answer your question, wherever there's the higher harmonic, the higher collective consciousness at work with the next vibratory level, which is the opening of the higher mind.
And that's where we actually connect with the sacred grids on the planet.
Excuse me. We will see the golden octave of ascension.
Right. Well, I thank you, Mary, for keeping going and believing in yourself. I think that's the challenge each one of us has, to believe in our own awareness and keep moving towards these higher realities. Even if we're all alone, I'm sure there's people sitting out there that have no one to talk to, and they're getting downloads of ET messages, and they just maybe think they're going crazy. But I think believing in ourselves, believing in what Mia said, truth, will take us all to the next level. I mean, what do you want to talk about at this upcoming Contact conference, Mary? What's your focus?
Well, my focus is showing the many ways we're being activated through music, through artwork, through scripts, hearing some of the languages, which I play deliberately, showing how one young woman out of the blue was taught how to play the piano a certain way. She'd never played the piano from China. And she plays it a certain way to get the frequencies after she has the dream and being shown that she had to play it that way. Everyone across the globe is getting this now. It's happening to everyone. And if anything, I can normalize it, hopefully, a little bit and say, you know what? If you're doing this, it's brilliant because you're part of this activation of this planet. So for me, it's about showing it's okay and that they are okay too.
And what's really great about that is once people see it happening to others, they say, hey, why isn't it happening to me? And they start becoming more open. I think the biggest blockage we have to all of this, especially the adults, is mainly the fact that we want to limit ourselves to the five senses. And when people start showing and just demonstrating that there's more, then the whole planet begins the awakening.
But one more thing, you know, if someone's watching at home and they are just feeling these other talents, can they contact you, Mary? I mean, how would they, you know, somebody's saying, yeah, that sounds like me. What What do they do?
Absolutely. What I do is I send out a certain questionnaire, which you won't find on any ufology network, because it's all about dreams, it's all about feelings, it's all about knowings, it's all about their multidimensional awareness. And that is showing them that if it's there in a questionnaire and it fits for them, then it already is telling them that something is credible and normal, because if other people are getting it too. And that is why I put it together, because it's all the things that the ufology ones that want the nuts and bolts will not put there. But I know that they're not from here, that they want to go home, that it's difficult on this planet. And have you got a mission? What, you know, do you feel, you know, all those things that we have those feelings about, but we don't think is substantial and relevant, when in fact they're absolutely relevant.
You know, that is what's changing in the UFO world. We're moving from the nuts and bolts to more of this sensing and feeling. And that's what the organization that Edgar Mitchell, that you're part of, FREE, you and Ray Hernandez, will be speaking about that at Contact in the Desert.
And we're also part of the organization of Noetic Sciences, FIONS.
Well, FIONS, all right. Of us. But even MUFON, which was always the nuts and bolts, with under Jan Harsson and other associates, they're starting to open up as well to it being a consciousness reality, not just a physical experience.
So our research has shown that we are multidimensional, musical, non-local beings. We're here, but we're also throughout the universe, and that emphasis upon the musical power of the mind and the heart working together is the essential breakthrough many scientists are having. So let us push forward.
I just want to read another comment, because it's nice, because we're live. Nice to get these live comments. We're developing finer senses that will allow us to experience other dimensions. We'll finally see the folks from other planes. I think we will physically see them. Right now, they're sort of abstract, even for me, and I, you know, look pushing. But we're developing this finer acuity of awareness, and they will become more visible.
I was saying most people can feel the energy. They don't always see the energy, but the feeling, I think, is becoming more and more evident for people.
So, Mary, just before we sign off here, I know I'll announce our upcoming schedules, but is there anything that you want to say that you feel is really important for the audience to know at this time? Because we are at such a crossroads. We're at such a critical point in history. What do you feel needs to be said?
I think the most important thing I would say to people is start trusting yourself. Your knowing, your sensing, your feeling, all those things that your left brain does not want to accept because they can't analyze it. If they can't analyze it, then that's great, because it means that you're tapping into that other side of yourself that's giving you information. Start listening to it.
Great. And how can people find you again?
Oh, just Google Mary Rodwell. I'm on Facebook or ascern.com.au, or The Alien Lady is another title I've been given nowadays. and plenty of YouTube presentations as well. They can find me if they just Google me. It's not hard.
Well, thank you. I'll also announce that Mary is going to be at the South Dakota Pine Ridge Reservation Talk. I'm going to be there too, Consciousness and Contact. There's that email online.
We support the Lakota Indians. We support the indigenous tribes in South America.
And many of them have had a profound experiences.
And they believe that the Star Nations are coming back, and that the industrial north is sleeping. It has to feel the higher vibrations of love and wake up. Otherwise, it's going to be taken as a surprise.
Well, that's why you were pulled there, right, Mary, to come to this conference?
Yeah, I was very fortunate that AJ published The New Human in Portuguese, and I went for the launch in March. I literally had a standing ovation for my work, and they want me back in Brazil for a complete day to talk now to those that have that want to hear more. So I was really amazed at how open they were in Brazil and how much they embraced the information.
Yes, you know, Mary, we represent 15 tribes in Brazil on a worldwide basis, and we've been working for many, many years with their leaders, their shamans, their social scientists.
Yeah. And AJ has a great group of people, and yes, the Brazilians are very open. Many have seen things directly.
AJ's a dear brother. He understands the changes that are going to come, that we must lovingly opened the door to going beyond this lower negativity that preoccupies so many people in the North.
But I was also saying, Mary, that's why you were pulled to the South Dakota gathering for the Indigenous. So, yeah.
Absolutely, because the Australian Aborigine knows all about the Star People and is already tapped into all of that. And as you know, I've always shown a little bit about how they understand their connection to the different beings. And that for me has been absolutely valuable because I'm seeing it, of course, right across the planet. All the Indigenous tribes, it's not a problem for them, is it? Because it's part of what they already know. It's just a problem for the limited Western mind. So it's brilliant that you're doing that, Dr. Hertak, because for me, that's where the wisdom is right there.
I was going to say, I know you were mentioning the Aboriginals in Australia. Many of them say they actually came from the stars. They don't even want to look to Southeast Asia. They don't want to look to Africa. They say, no, our origin is the stars. So,
well, yeah, absolutely.
Well, we're going to be sharing with the Indigenous in South Dakota from May 16th to the 20th at the Pine Ridge Reservation. I'm going to be there. I'm actually going to be talking about the biology of hybridization because I've just saw a great film called The Symbiotic Earth. Lynn Margolis talked about the sharing of DNA. And my other research shows how DNA is actually a vehicle of consciousness. This is what Gary Nolan proved, that it's actually older than the Earth. So I'm going into how the human ET hybrids are actually a possible genetic reality. And I think as we move that hybridization, also creating a hybrid consciousness that we're moving
right,
into.
Right, but that's what I like about Mary's work. She's talking about hybrids, but you're also considering them really star children from Orion. They don't have to be hybrids in the sense of strange reptilians or grays. They have to be hybrids in terms of the star children and partly
that's right.
from the stars.
And they're bringing in frequencies in the DNA, the holographic frequencies from their system as well. Because we know that DNA is holographic, so that's exactly right.
So we're being prepared for a whole new textbook on spiritual anthropology, recognizing the, as you said before, the extraterrestrials, the extra-celestials, the ultra-terrestrials, the meta-terrestrials. All of these levels are very important, but one needs the loving vibration of compassion to understand the balance between all of these different levels and categories.
Right. I think that's also what you bring, Mary. You have that sensitivity. And you've done your own work. You know, I think anyone who's in this has to develop their own sense of compassion and love in order to go out there and meet beings that are so different than us and still connect at the heart level, at the love level. So do you have anything to say about that particular inner work that you did to meet the other there, Mary?
Well, I realized that I needed to do that because one little nine-year-old who was telling me when I was talking to his father, he said to me that he was from Orion. He was a light physicist working on time travel technology and how dumb the scientists were here. But he did say to me the reason he wanted to talk to me was because of my frequency. You can't lie to these kids because they just look at you, they see your frequency, and they know you. So you've really got to work on yourself because otherwise they won't even bother. So you've got to do the work.
Thank you, Mary. Like I said, Mary and me and a few other people, Barbara Lamb, are going to be at the South Dakota Pine Ridge Reservation May 16th to the 20th. Contact Mia Feroletto. That's MIA.FEROLETO@gmail.com. And then from there, Mary's going to New York City, the East Coast. She'll be speaking down at 333 Greenwich Street on May 23rd, 7 p.m. And then she'll be on Long Island at the Arboretum outside of Bayshore on the 25th, and then in Philadelphia on the 28th. And you can contact me for the specifics of those dates at newrealities@earthlink.net. And then from there, we're all going, all four of us are going to Contact in the Desert in Indian Wells, California. That's May 31st to June 3rd. You can get tickets there at contactinthedesert.com. And of course, Mary has probably loads of other engagements.
I was going to say, we and thousands of other people are going to Contact in the Desert.
Yes. going to be brilliant.
Mm. Oh, and one more thing we're doing this week is Lightning in a Bottle. I'm going to be talking about ET realities, and you're going to be talking
sacred about grid points of the earth and also the divine feminine.
That's Lightning in a Bottle, Bakersfield. Mm-hmm. What did you say, Mary?
I said it's beautiful to hear that.
Okay.
It's beautiful.
Thank you for your time and for your years of dedication to really the truth. It's a truth that is ungraspable within the popular culture, but we're still going for it. We're still trying to bring it into form, and that's where our work, all of our works connect. And thank you for your time today.
It's been a pleasure and wonderful to meet you, Dr. Hertek, again, and Desiree. Thank you for your sharing as well.
Yes, blessings as well. And to all of you around the world, ad astra, to the stars, mm-hmm. with happiness.
Thanks.
Blessings.
Okay. Thank you all. Thanks for watching. This is New Realities with Alan Steinfeld. If you want to subscribe to this station, go to the subscription button. And if you have any comments, put some in the chat or email me at newrealities@earthlink.net. Thank you, Dr. JJ, Dr. Desiree Hertek, and we'll see you soon.
See you soon.
Bye.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
It's like a spacecraft landed in my backyard with Alan on a camel and my man Bashar. 10 rabbis, a physicist, guru, and a genius. A woman who can teach you how to grow your penis. I'm a romp, the Jay-Z, channeling true love. Oh, reality's boring. We're starting a new one. Hearts popped open. Dalai Lama, rock your soul with my tantric chakras. Now say om with Deepak Chopra. Natasha's so dope. Who needs Oprah? Shaman Steven is high as hell. NSA can't stop my elves. Fairies landed, whole world's dusted. Hugging under covers but naked in public. Government's bugging but they're so corny. Back to the craft first, starborn orgy. What? It's new realities. Changing the news, new realities. God's interviews, new realities. Where do I begin? A left mention? JJ Hertek, Keys of Enoch. Open up doors, teleport to Montauk. Navy ships disappear for battling. Duncan Cameron starts time traveling. Nassim Harriman, electron spin. Word I am word cell channeling. Paulo, masculine, feminine. Marianne Williamson, tears to triumph. Jade goddesses lift weights with their vaginas. Till there's a tantric holy glow. Jody Sirota's a UFO. From Sedona to DC, Washington disclose ETs. David Icke is like Adam and Eve. Meet me down a caravan of dreams. For Alan Steinfeld's new realities. With cheese, what? It's new realities. Changing the news, new realities. God's interviews, new realities. Where do I begin? A left mention, new realities. Changing the news, new realities. God's interviews, new realities. Where do I begin?
Join me, George Norrie, in Indian Wells, California, for the 7th Annual Contact in the Desert UFO Conference, May 31st to June 3rd. Contact in the Desert is an epic weekend of adventure filled with exciting explorations into ancient aliens, human origins, crop circles, UFO sightings, disclosure, and the newest evidence of ongoing contact. This amazing weekend offers over 50 lectures, 40 workshops, 8 exciting panels, special events, and a luncheon that I'm hosting. Contact in the Desert also features leading experts including Giorgio Tsoukalos, David Wilcock, Linda Moulton Howe, Michael Tellinger, Eric von Daniken, Doc Wallach, and many more important researchers and scientists in the field. Contact in the Desert is your place for inside information. Join us at thecontactinthedesert.com to get your tickets today. It's time to make contact. That's contactinthedesert.com. Don't miss it. Contactinthedesert.com.